Stormy, Lewinsky, and Hypocrisy. That's the title of a new article by Dr. Paul Kanger. He's a professor at Grove City College. He's a professor of history and also of political science. He's also a best-selling author and a columnist. And that article, Stormy, Lewinsky, and Hypocrisy, appears in the American the American Spectator.
The American Spectator.
Exactly. Visionandvalues.org for more information for all things Paul Kanger. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. And Paul, it's great to have you back on the program.
Yeah, always good to be with you, Jerry. Thanks.
Okay, so from where I'm standing, when I see even, you know, some of the websites that you go on and they have a picture of Stormy Daniels or whatever, the lady that was on 60 Minutes, and it's basically like, okay, this is just a cheap shot to try and increase ratings. That's the way I see it. I don't know about you, but I understand at least you read the transcript, which is more than I did.
Yeah, you know, I was fortunately out while that was going on, Palm Sunday, right?
Yeah, good for you.
That's how 60 Minutes rounds out Palm Sunday for everybody, an exclusive interview with a porn star. But so I didn't actually see it, although this is funny. This maybe be telling, Jerry. I was driving my car around in Pittsburgh. I was down there with my daughter. And I went past the City Works, which is like a major sports bar right in Market Square, a real nice area. And it's one of those places with big, huge TV screens, always with a football game, right, always with basketball. And all the screens were filled up with pictures of Stormy Jones being interviewed by Anderson Cooper. And I knew right then and there, I thought, okay, this is going to be a big one. And from what I've been told today, I think that was their highest rated 60 minutes in at least a decade.
Yeah, in 20 years. So, 20 years. Yeah,
20
Stormy
years.
Stormy Daniels, by the way. I don't mean to correct you.
Stormy Daniels. Jeez, what did I call her?
Stormy Jones. Maybe that's a reference to Paula Jones.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, there is a difference between the two. I mean, Paula Jones alleged that Clinton, that president then, or actually before he was president, Bill Clinton tried to force himself on her, whereas at least with the Trump, if these things are true, it was a consensual type of thing. I mean, that is an important difference, but I don't like sleazy presidents, you know.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it seems to have been consensual, and I hate to ever, Jerry, take the side of take the word of a porn star over the president of the United States. But I think that she's probably telling the truth. I mean, you know, Donald Trump lived a really nasty life, and we know this. And you know, I hope and pray that he's behaving himself now, that he's turned his life around. And maybe this is a crucial difference between him and Bill Clinton that's worth pointing out. Trump, although he's only been in office for a year, that we know of, isn't doing things like this now. Right. And whereas what Bill Clinton did, especially with Monica Lewinsky, you know, that was happening while he was president. And Monica Lewinsky was an intern, of all things, you know, a young girl in her early 20s. So in a way, I think we can say that from a kind of public perspective, Clinton's is worse. Right. At least in terms of who we have in the Oval Office. I mean, it's all sin and it's all awful and it's all terrible. I don't want to try to adjudicate which is worse than the others. But with Trump, none of this stuff has happened while he's been president. But it's still pretty sad and it's pretty disappointing. And it did happen while Trump was newly married, apparently, and his third marriage, of all things.
Yeah.
And it's this kind of thing that led to the end of his first two marriages.
Well, let me ask you a question. Just since you are a political scientist and historian, you've written books about Ronald Reagan and George W. Bush and Hillary Clinton. You know, you've written books about the communist movement, and your most current book is A Pope and the President, and about how both Ronald Reagan and John Paul II helped to engineer freedom in Poland, which then ultimately led really to the end of the Cold War. But anyway, so as an historian, is 60 Minutes, which has been this respected television program, you know, almost in some ways a standard of journalism, reached a new low by, you know, essentially, you know, going for the ratings by this kind of, you know, titillating program, for lack of a better term.
Well, let's remember to give them credit, and I don't like 60 Minutes. I don't watch it. I can't stand them. I mean, the liberal bias just oozes through the TV screen.
Yes, I agree.
But in 1992, they interviewed Bill and Hillary. And I think it was Steve Croft, wasn't it, maybe, Jerry?
Yeah, I think that's right. That's right. And I saw portions of that, and I remember thinking, oh, wow, this guy's through. And he wasn't.
Yeah,
and Hillary said,
right,
I'm not, you know, I don't just sit around and bake cookies, you know. I'm not just standing by my man.
Tammy Wynette thing, stand by my man. Yeah, she said it with a...
I remember that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and which tells us, we know Bill was lying through his teeth. And, you know, Hillary probably was as well. I mean, she knew about his past. You know, you mentioned the American Spectator, where my article is on this today. The American Spectator, 1992 and 93, was breaking all those stories, remember, on the Arkansas State Troopers.
Yeah, and his cheating heart.
Yeah, and the that's right. And the Arkansas State Troopers, these were men who were assigned to the Clinton security detail when Clinton was governor of Arkansas throughout the 80s. And they talked about not just Bill Clinton and Jennifer Flowers and all sorts of other women, but about Hillary as well. Hmm. And even allegedly Hillary's affair with Vince Foster, of all people. So yeah, that was put out by American Spectator, which is a conservative publication and has been consistent on this. But with 60 Minutes, so they did interview Bill and Hillary back in 1992, and yeah, I got to say, if you have a story like this as a journalist with Stormy Daniels, and it seems to check out, they believe, and you have a chance to do an exclusive interview like this, I mean, I don't see how they can turn it down, right? I mean, it's not what I want to watch. It's not my idea of entertainment. But here's really the key thing, to answer your question. It's not that she's just airing lewd charges against Donald Trump. And by the way, I don't know if you read the transcript, but what she said they did is really disgusting. I mean, this is some pretty nasty stuff. But the big issue, and this is what truly brought the story out into the open, is that she is alleging that the Trump campaign, and specifically through the Trump attorney Michael Cohen, tried to buy her off with hush money of $150,000 during the 2016 campaign.
Or was it $130,000?
Yeah, $130,000.
Yeah, I believe so. That's what I remember. I saw, you know, on the TV. But hey, go ahead.
Okay.
I mean, I didn't see the 60 Minutes, but I saw it being discussed on
definitely $100,000 plus.
Yeah,
right.
So a pretty
good amount of money. And I remember in 2016 when, you know, guys like me and you were excited about Ted Cruz and you know, Marco Rubio and pretty much any of the entire 16 other than Donald Trump. I remember this guy named Michael Cohen going on Sean Hannity's show and others. And it was one of the nastiest, most vicious, virulent campaign people I've ever heard in my entire life.
Huh.
I remember driving in my car where I was and turning to my daughter saying, this guy is vicious.
Tell me about the attorney.
The attorney.
Yeah.
And Hannity not challenging him on anything. And that was when I quit listening to Sean Hannity. I thought, he has put a hatchet man out here in the air who's saying some of the worst things I've ever heard say by any Republican candidate's aides against the other Republican ever. And then here we are 2 years later, and Michael Cohen's name suddenly emerges again as the guy who was the medium to give hush money, allegedly to Stormy Daniels. So it wouldn't surprise me, Jerry, if this happened. And, you know, before the listeners start getting angry at me, I'm glad Trump is president, not Hillary Clinton. I'm glad Hillary Clinton lost. I like a lot of what Trump did. But as a Christian, I'm compelled to be honest about what I see taking place. And let's be honest about this. We all knew that Donald Trump's past was filled with stuff like this.
We just didn't know the extent of it.
That, yeah. Yeah. We're hoping and praying that it's not going to happen anymore. And remember this, too. In 1992, liberals told us with Bill Clinton, well, this stuff will never happen when he becomes president, right? Well, it did. And then when it did with Clinton, they also, what did they say then? Well, it doesn't matter. And we said, well, no. You said that this wouldn't happen while he was president. Like, you wouldn't tolerate it. Now you're telling us you're going to tolerate it. Not only did they tolerate it, but they demonized and vilified Ken Starr and anybody who exposed it. So I don't think it's happening now with Donald Trump. But, man, if this kind of thing happens while he's president, our side better step up, because I don't want us to be just like – I don't want us to be hypocrites like liberals were in the 1990s.
That's a great point. By the way, there's a – I keep thinking of this one article I read recently in the National Review by David French, who – you know, was essentially a never-Trumper on the conservative side of things. But he made a very good point. He said in the opening line, it was something to this effect, that if you voted for Trump, you know, in 2016, you know, that's one thing because of the two-person choice that was on the ballot. I'm saying this much more wordily than he did. Okay.
Yeah, that was his piece, Trump and Evangelicals, around
something
week,
like that.
Right?
Yeah, something like that. And then he said,
very good piece.
But that doesn't mean you have to join the tribe of Trump. In other words, it's one thing that you voted this way because of the choice you were given. It's another thing to just sort of, you know, look the other way to all the, you know, stuff that would be immoral. I mean, we're both wanting more righteousness in this country. Righteousness exalts a nation, says the Bible,
sin is a reproach
to any people. So this is not a happy day in America, you know, in light of the 60 Minutes stuff. And I'm not blaming all of 60 Minutes, but, you know, there it is.
Well, and you know, he won. He's in for 4 years. That doesn't mean now you need to give him a pass on anything bad that he does. And also too, you know, we need to hold them accountable, right? We need to be a check to this. It's nothing wrong with demanding morality from the guy that's in the office. And you know, I'm as troubled by the allegations in 2018 as I was in 1998, 20 years ago.
Right.
And if we as conservative Christians don't stand on principle and condemn genuinely outrageous and scandalous behavior, we're not going to have any credibility. And I mean, liberals have already, you know, they've already shot their moral credibility in these issues. Now we have to, too. And if we do, then who's going to be left to hold up principle on anything?
Well, you know,
there's nothing wrong with demanding morality of your guy in the office.
You know, listen to this. You'll get a kick out of this, especially as a policy, you know, political science professor. Dr. Donald Lutz of the University of Houston, who's written a lot about, you know, America's origins and so forth, he said to me one time in an interview, he said that word election, as applied to American politics, you know, election 2016, that referred to the Puritans would have two candidates on the ballot, okay? And the question for the people, the voters, was which of these two men do we think is the more likely to be among the elect? In other words, they show so much Christian character that we will choose them because they are among the elect of God. And so,
that's the way it should be.
Yeah, you think about it. So in other words, character did matter, but nowadays, I guess character doesn't seem to matter at the ballot box.
Well, no, and you know, guys like me and you in the 1990s, Bill Bennett writing, you know, the Book of Virtues, we taught our kids this stuff, right? Say character counts. It does matter. And to suddenly hypocritically throw it out the window, I understand the point. This was the point of David French's article, where you're making a calculation in November 2016. You're saying, okay, they're both very flawed, right? Hillary and Trump, this isn't a good choice. We're going to vote for the lesser of two evils.
We have 20 seconds left.
We're going to hold our nose to at least keep Hillary out. But now that he's in, you got to hold him morally accountable for things like this.
All right, Paul Kanger, Dr. Paul Kanger, visionandvalues.org. Thank you, Paul. Always a pleasure.
All right, Jerry, anytime.
Okay, all the best. Bye-bye.